What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett. I am with Amy Zander. Amy, we have a guest today, don't we?
We do. I am so excited. We're going to change things up a bit and get a new voice on the show. We are chatting with Olga Nesterova, the founder of Honest Conversations. Welcome to our show, Olga.
Hi, Amy. Hi, guys. Welcome. Hi. Thank you for the warm welcome.
Glad to have you here.
Absolutely. So for our listeners, according to her website, Olga is an experienced marketing strategist who has worked with Fortune 500 companies in New York, successfully growing their social media reach, engagement, and ultimately sales. And it also says you have a television network and your own podcast, which we know already. So before we dive into talking about marketing stuff, tell us about yourself and your company.
Well, I was born in Eastern Europe and I grew up in Germany and I studied in the Netherlands and then I graduated in US and I worked as a diplomat for UN. And so this is my long story and I kind of always was into media, but also into providing value. And so this was the core idea behind creating the network. If we can recall, last year we faced the Black Lives Matter movement, which was a long time overdue, but I thought, you know, we need to do more than just posting black squares on Instagram. And I kind of didn't sleep for 48 hours and got singers and performers and poets from five continents who ultimately streamed with me. It was a live stream marathon for 12 hours where we raised money for NAACP. And for all that, I had to learn how to stream and how to host content and, right? You know, create a brand. And you guys know it, right?
Yeah. So,
and it was all super fast. And then I said, you know, people really liked it. And so I continued with that. I called it Artists for Justice Initiative. And then ultimately we had 1.6 million viewers at our last one, which was dedicated to Stop Asian Hate. And I thought, you know, people are seeking mindful content. And so mindful content, in my opinion, is educational, inspirational, entertaining. And so that's how the idea behind Honest TV was born. And that's what I'm working on right now.
Oh, that's great. I love it. My company, ZD Media, our passion is supporting local art. And we're involved in a lot of local art initiatives and promoting artists and things like that. So that speaks to my heart, too. That's awesome.
So, Olga, so we all three of us work in the marketing industry, and I think that our biggest questions to you, prior to Amy reaching out to you, have you heard of Brand Archetypes or the even the concept of Brand Archetypes, of how it's used in the development of brand strategy?
I've heard of the term, but I never heard of that in connection to marketing or branding, which would be connected to corporations. And then, of course, sure, when I visited your website and started reading about it, I'm like, you know what? I'm the hero. I'm the mother. I'm this. And I'm like, you have to figure out who you are. Okay.
So yes, true that.
Your approach is so significant for people to figure out first and foremost who they are so they can then create the strategy to present how people should actually see them or as whom they have to see them. Right. So no, I haven't, but this is a super cool concept.
Well, the fact that you went out of your way to go to the website, read about it, and immediately grasped the big idea that this is the easiest way that we have found, and this is over a decade and a half of trying to get people to make connections. So, you know, I'm sure, Amy, you've got at least a handful of questions. I know I've got a bunch swirling around in my head, so I'll let you go next. What have you got?
Yeah, well, I was just going to comment too. Exactly what Olga said is that when, Kevin and I first started working together and he introduced me to the concept of brand archetypes, I got it right away and I was like, oh, this takes this giant, burden to a lot of people of marketing and it focuses it into one idea and one message. So you don't have to constantly think about how to get your idea out there. And if you're not a marketing agency, but you own a business, your focus is usually on your business, selling your products and services, and marketing is like
Yes.
this giant thing that you have to worry about. And so it just made things really easily and or made things easier. And Kevin and I always joke that like our goal is world dominance. Like we want every business to at least have heard of brand archetypes and consider it because we truly believe it makes things a lot easier. So yeah, so with that, Ogo, what do you think is the most important thing for a business to do or consider when they're building a brand?
So I just want to circle back a little bit on your concept. I think, when people have to join a specific company or corporation, they have to read a specific book that is kind of said by the CEO so they understand the core idea behind the company and kind of like get the feeling for it. And I think everybody needs to go to your website and read all about it because honestly, you cannot work in marketing unless you understand that. Right, understand that are different types that you can actually define yourself as whoever you are or your company, right? So it just provides you knowledge because everybody's talking, we need to be a brand, you have to be a brand, you have to own a brand, and all Instagram and social media is full of it. And meanwhile, it's a lot of noise and very little substance. And so I'm just grateful that you guys are providing substance and I love it.
Yay.
So,
So your comment, and we've all three of us have here in just in the last couple of minutes have kind of danced around the big idea, the really, really big idea that good marketing, great marketing, and great brands are all based on connections, not presentation, not on tactics, not on the latest, greatest
manipulations, yeah.
shiny object in front of us. It's how do we build relationships? And through that, we have to create a powerful emotional connection. Otherwise, it's going to be a weak relationship. So,
Exactly.
I read your, or I listened to your a video this morning of yours talking about personal branding, and I'm sure Amy's got a whole bunch of questions about personal branding, as well do I. But the first question that comes into my mind is, because we have approached this whole arena in different ways, but we all have, all three of us have kind of the same belief that there's this fundamental idea of building relationships and connections. But what do you think are some of the misconceptions about branding? Lots of businesses don't understand it and they don't do it well, and it's usually because of misconceptions. So what's in your head right now?
Right. And let's connect it together with Amy's question, what to have in mind when building a brand as well. People fall for shiny stuff and for fluffy stuff and for beautiful Instagram posts and a lot of filters and,
Right.
fake this, fake that. And honestly, first you need to understand who you are. Then you have to understand who you're aiming to reach and where those people are. Right? What do they consume? How do they consume content? How can you relate to them and build that relationship? Right? So the biggest misconception is that you have to be better than, and so people have to admire you. Meanwhile, people have to relate to you. They have to see a tiny bit of themselves in you, in your brand, and see value in your product or service. Right? So you can ultimately build that trust. Right? And honestly, you can bring more sales or get more sales when you have that relationship. Because if Nike is bringing out a new shoe, as ugly as it can be, people will buy it because there's a relationship with the brand. I just seen yesterday the new Yeezys. Oh my God. I lived in Holland. I know what those wooden shoes are, and that really resembles it, but people will be lighting up and buying it because
Yeah.
there's that relationship. So Nike is not throwing sales or not running behind you on the street asking to buy the shoe. You're actually making sacrifices to get that brand. So knowing who you are, knowing who you want to connect to, how do you want to connect to them, and also be consistent, be authentic, and build the relationship. So
Being consistent and being authentic. Those are great ideas, don't you think, Amy?
Yeah, it's like we've never actually talked about that before, ever.
Yeah, consistency and authenticity.
Right, right. I think too, a lot of people don't agree or are not on the same page about what brand actually means too. Like,
or its value.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think, oh, my brand is my logo or my brand is my tagline. And we've talked a lot about that, but what we always come back to is those are things that help your brand and they support your brand, but it's really that emotional connection that you want to make with your clients. Or do you want to be funny, supportive, trusting? Do you want to be informative? Do you want to, make people feel like they can do anything they want, go on an adventure, be pampered? And that's where all those archetypes come in. If you pick one and focus on that, you have a consistent message. And that's the hardest thing, I think, in marketing, is just having that consistent message. Like some people do like a funny post here, a serious brochure there, and they're kind of like all over the place. And then their brand is just never going to be strong if it's all over the place.
And then there's a cat and the little food and everything. But I want to.
I have the cat.
And the reel and the dance. And you have to always fit a dance with TikTok talk about coconuts recently.
Memes are good. Yes. Yeah.
So, but I wanted just to say that the brand is something that introduces you before you enter the room. Right. And the value you provide is something that people will talk about after you leave the room. So if there is no value, right, if there is no substance, there's no connection. Well, they're going to say it's kind of like, if women think I'm my hair, I'm my, lashes and lips and clothes. No, it's not who you are. It's your attributes, right, which can change. But who you are is pretty much the energy you bring into the room as well.
So let me repeat the words that you just said, because I love them. The brand is what they'll talk about before you enter the room, and the value is what they'll talk about after you leave the room. That's huge. Listen to that again. Rewind the podcast. Listen to that 3 or 4 times, because if you don't get that, you're not going to get anything, okay? So let me change the words around, and I don't know if you've heard this phrase before that was coined back in, I think it was the 70s, and I forget the gentleman's name, famous brand guy back in the day. And he said, brand is the promise of an experience, meaning the brand is not right now. It's something that might happen in the future. It's a promise that this experience that you're going to have is going to be this wonderful, beautiful thing. And that's what people are talking about before you come into the room, right? The
absolutely. So, yeah. Yes. So, but then they have to deliver. They have to deliver on the promise. And that's, you see, and I'm sure you've seen those brands on social media specifically that are so cool and great. And then you order the product and it's nothing like that.
It's right. Yeah. The experience is way less than the promise. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when people invested more into their marketing than in the product itself. So ultimately, I was listening to the podcast with Steve Madden, and he said that when something goes wrong with his business, he goes back to basics, providing good shoes or creating good shoes. Mm-hmm. So the product is what will make sales consistent, but your brand is what will excite people to actually, find you and buy from you for the first time.
And just look at the cost of some Nike shoes. Those prices are not because they're like every other shoe. It's because the brand is that much more powerful.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
Absolutely.
That is true. So speaking of brands and different companies, do you have some favorite brands that you think that they're doing a really good job or stand out to you?
Honestly, two. One is Peloton. I'm from New York, so Peloton opened here, 2005, 7, something like that, really, really long time ago. And it was very humble until they kind of realized that they will select a diverse group of instructors, diverse, in personalities, in their, racial background, cultural, everything. So, and then they made them their superstars. And so people were coming to kind of watch a show and be part of the whole experience.
Yeah.
And
so my wife has a little bit too big of a crush on Cody. I'll just say
God.
I'm sure she's not alone.
You know what? I was in the studio. I was taking class and there was Cody. And I took his class. He exited the room. And I was like, what a man. And then I saw this Mickey Mouse tattoo, and you know, I wish him super well on Dancing with the Stars. He's now there. I hope he wins. And no, but ultimately they expanded the brand to clothing, to workouts, to everything. And it's all built on culture, all built on community. Because if they were just concentrated on telling us how great the bike is and what the benefits are, any other brand could copy that. And they did. There is a Schmelaton and Schmulaton and everything at this point. So, yeah.
So but they built community. The neighbor archetype. So this concept of community and being part of a group and having friends and that's that tight knit feeling that you have. Mm-hmm. That's definitely within the regular guy or neighbor archetype. So good stuff.
And that you can't copy, right? Because anybody can copy the bike, but they can't copy community. Another brand I want to talk about, the Knicks, the NBA team that has no good results, but it's valued as the most expensive brand in the NBA. So it's great branding. Again, are we talking about substance or not? But what they do with brand works, and so it outcompetes the results they present. You know,
if you think that their job is to deliver games, then you've missed the point. Their job is to deliver entertainment.
Yep.
And are they? Yep. Or they wouldn't have that strong of a brand. So doing that authentically and doing it consistently and doing it powerfully, that's how you get it. Okay, what about companies where you don't think they're doing such a good job? Any come to mind?
Not specifically, but you know, I think majority of companies fall for the trends where they misuse social issues as some way to connect with their public. And that is really aggravating when we talk about Black History Month or LGBTQ months, and everybody is having those rainbows and, you know, trying to portray that they have the connection. Meanwhile, you haven't built that connection throughout the year. So what will that month do? Right. So I think that using social issues as a part of your marketing is really kind of like below the belt, you know?
Yeah.
I
think it's when we see those things, that when we see them and it's aggravating to us because we know it's not authentic, it's part and parcel with what Amy was talking about earlier, the try anything, throw anything at the wall, see if it sticks, spray and pray. You know, we use these phrases to describe how people are kind of all over the place. But when we see someone who's trying to pull off a social campaign, and social marketing is a concept that people need to look into, but you have to be really careful. If you're for creating a campaign that has this very warm and caring feel to it, but you're not a mother archetype or anything close to it, you know, you're a hero or a jester, it really comes off as inauthentic. You know, so the question is if I've established a very powerful brand strategy, let's say it's based on archetypes, and let's say it is a jester, is it possible to then create a social campaign that has a fun feel to it? Of course, now you are within brand, right? So it's not necessarily just the idea that people are doing this inauthentically. They're doing it inauthentically because they haven't really established a brand strategy. And that's super easy to fix. So Amy, what do you think about that?
Our episode we did on Oreos comes to mind. We were talking about that and how they had the LGBTQ commercial.
Oreos.
Yeah, they did have that. It was a pretty cool video. I did like the little story, and it was, and they never really talked about Oreos. I mean, very briefly, the girl was like eating an Oreo. So we did have a podcast about that. And I do agree with Kevin that if you're not going to seem below the belt, like you said, Olga, it's still got to be within your own brand. Mm-hmm. And that's the way you could do it really well. For sure. I mean, Kevin uses this example sometimes and I love it, but you know, even if you're not a marketing expert or a brand expert, you still know when a brand does something off, you just know it. Right. So like, I mean, you use Nike a lot as an example, and they're one of the companies that we say they never make a brand mistake. Really. I mean, they're always the hero. They're always on brand. They very rarely even talk about shoes or what they actually sell. It's just their brand, their emotional connection there. But if they had, if they did a commercial that was off brand and they were like, come on into the Nike store and sit down and we'll put a really comfy shoe on your foot. You'd be like, what the hell, Nike?
And
like,
all
he's
laughing right now.
What
are you doing, right? For the like, listeners.
Just do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't
yeah.
Do it.
Right.
Shoe.
Yeah. So we all know when a company, when we're familiar with a brand and then they go off brand, like it's so obvious, right? So
yeah.
So yeah, what I find interesting is every single person who I have either brought into the fold of brand archetypes or dragged into it, kicking and screaming, they come to a realization and then they realize later, and this is the beautiful part, that not only can they recognize big, huge gaffes in branding, like what Amy was just saying, but they also see the subtle stuff. Like they'll be driving down the road and they'll see a billboard for a coffee shop that they're used to. And they're like, wow, that billboard is really off brand. I mean, that is not a big, big campaign. That's just the words on a billboard or, you know, the image that they picked. So it's amazing how fast that happens, how quickly they can start targeting and identifying brand mistakes. And isn't that what we need to be able to do if we're going to be successful business owners, is to not just embrace and create a great brand, but know when we're making a mistake and have all of our employees know when we're making a mistake.
Right.
So, yeah.
And I think, you know, as same as with people, you meet someone, whether it is your personal connection, professional connection, and you have that first impression. And you will actually get to know the person, how much dignity they have once they make a mistake. And I think how you get out of a bad situation shows you as a leader, shows you as a person, and shows you as a company how authentic you are. Because we can talk about authenticity, but you have to kind of walk the talk, especially when you make a mistake. So how can you still relate and still be connected with your audience that you built, and explain why you did that, and that you know, not just promise that you're not going to do it again, but also how are you going to change and present change, right. You know?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that happens a lot when companies rebrand or their version of what they think rebranding is, and then people are happy or not happy, and they don't understand why they did what they did, and oftentimes it's just like changing their logo or something, but do you have like any advice or like key things that you think businesses should do or remember when they're trying to rebrand, whatever their version of rebranding is?
And before you jump in, I have to tell you, I was really struck by your video on rebranding. You threw in something that made me really think for the first time in a long time. And that doesn't happen very often where
you don't think very often, Kevin.
Hold on. Let me think about that. No, yeah, I think about things a lot. What you said, you were specifically talking about personal branding, and an example you gave is, okay, what if you're an actor and you want to and you've kind of had this brand evolve because you've been in certain kinds of roles and now you want to shift. And what struck me is, wow, that is completely different than a business, and not that after, you know, a couple of decades of doing this, that I have not made this realization that personal branding is different than corporate branding. Don't get me wrong there. But there is a really big difference in an individual with a personal brand who is consciously trying to shift and change how they are perceived versus a corporation, which ostensibly should never do that. Right. We see so many corporate mistakes where people have tried to change the brand, not tweaking their logo, but really, truly wholesale changing their brand. So, the whole concept of rebranding is really interesting. You did a great job in your video, and the personal branding is something that we probably should put a little bit more thought into, Amy, because I think there's some guidance there that, you know, people might need. So.
Right.
Anyway, so your thoughts on rebranding, Olga.
Yeah, so, you know, and what you're talking about, personal rebranding and corporate rebranding leads to losing some and winning some, right? And so if you are a person, you are probably depending on either brand deals or employment And you just mentioned actors, right? And I think I mentioned Matthew McConaughey, how he wanted to go from romantic comedies to serious movies. And so he declined all the jobs. He lost millions of dollars, right, in potential income. And then ultimately he started getting the roles he wanted to. And so you have to be confident and comfortable with losing some jobs too, because once you rebrand yourself, right, you will lose income and you will lose those opportunities. And why a lot of companies were so paralyzed last year to act on Black Lives Matter movement, to act on Stop Asian Hate movement, because they were afraid that the sponsors will just turn around and walk away, right? But if you're a corporation and you are rebranding, you might lose, and most likely will lose, some customers, right? Some will say, I don't understand you. Like, think about singers or like Britney Spears, you know, people liked her when she was a little girl and kind of a teen, and now it's a totally different demographic. So the same thing with corporations as well. It's nothing bad about change. Change is meaning that you're still alive, right? And we all change and we all outgrow our, you know, even our demographic, or they outgrow us. So that's okay. But you have to be conscious about how do you want to be pursued? What is that change? Why are you making that? What's your intention behind it? Are you chasing the cloud? Are you chasing trends? Because if you're going to just chase trends, you're going to be changing very often and people will get tired of it. And we spoke about trust. There will be no trust because we don't know, you know, it's kind of like a bipolar brand. I don't know who's going to be tomorrow. Exactly. Right. So there's no trust. So you have to be carefully planning and first, again, within yourself, within your company, knowing why do you want to change and what that change should be, and then be consistent with that so people can actually either align with your changes or leave. And that's fine because you're going to attract new demographic as well.
And again, your answer, beautiful, perfect. And I can see your point with the whole Matthew McConaughey thing, throwing millions to the side because he doesn't really need it, but he sees the value of this future self that he has not yet created. I'm going to go in that direction because that's the better path. A conscious effort and, you know, lots of energy and being put into that direction. And when I said earlier that almost never should corporations do that, I'll take that back. I have had numerous companies come to me, say, hey, I think I need to redo my logo. I want a rebranding. And then I'll explain to him what branding is. And we'll talk about that. And I'll go, oh, yeah, maybe I do need to change everything. Maybe I need to change my name. And maybe I need to change everything. And that doesn't happen often. But that's the same thing as what Matthew McConaughey did, right? And so when you're talking about a company, let's say 20-year-old, 30-year-old company, you're throwing away a lot of history, but this future self may be more powerful. And we interviewed we had a guest on about 4 or 5 months ago. A gentleman owns a barcode company, barcode labeling company up in New England. And he did that more than 10 years ago. And he will talk about that all day long. It was the best movie ever did. He threw away his name. He threw away his logo. He threw away everything. He started from scratch after years of being in business. So yeah, great stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
I think the difference there though is like what Olga was saying, like Matthew McConaughey had one brand and he wanted to switch to another brand. But so often when businesses come to us,
they have no brand.
They have no brand. So sure. I mean, even though they're quote unquote rebranding themselves, what they're really doing is getting an actual brand, right? Because they've just kind of been all over the place before that. So that's a little bit different, but it's not usually looked at like that because changing your business or name and even your logo is scary.
Yeah.
So
why wouldn't you close one and build a new one? You know, it's kind of like a thing with people changing their brands and keeping the same Instagram. And, you know, for me, it happened to me, actually. I had a bunch of followers, you know, and I was in the business producing NBA and NHL halftime entertainment. So who did I attract? I attracted NBA fans. I attracted entertainment fans, also people who love dance because it was based on dance and entertainment and all of that. And then I'm shifting into entertainment and mindful content, right? I'm talking about business. I'm talking about inspiration and all of that, right? And marketing and branding. And so people were like, wait a second. we're the half naked girls, you know. And I'm seeing like, okay, my numbers are dropping. And I was like, oh my God, you know, maybe I should, maybe I should. No, I shouldn't, you know, because it's nothing, you know, it has nothing to do with them. It has everything to do with me. There was this girl, just to bring an example, and she called me, she said, you know what? I attract men, and when I post my pictures, I have so many likes and followers, but I'm a nutritionist. So when I post about nutrition, nobody likes it. And I said, well, but you're continuing to feed the beast. Yes. You know, you post yourself in right. that sassy manner. So either make money with that, if that's, you know, floats yeah. your boat, or keep posting your nutritional posts. And then ultimately the algorithm will start showing you to those who are interested. So
and to be clear, there is no half-naked girl archetype. Just like
no. that. That's another website.
That's another website. Okay.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your podcast.
So the podcast that I'm super excited to welcome you to, it's called Honest Conversations. And we're talking about anything from entrepreneurship to business, to marketing, to branding, to even mindfulness and growth mindset. So it is for everybody who either wants to start a business, wants to start a side hustle, although I kind of hate that word, either be in it or, you know, or who wants to just progress and thinks about getting into a certain industry. So if you're seeking motivation, inspiration, but also knowledge and substance, that's for it. And the guests like you, Amy, make it really special.
Oh, thank you. So tell before we wrap up here, tell our listeners how and where they can find you, and we'll also put it in our show notes.
And before you do that, thank you so much.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Has been awesome. Awesome, awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I hope you both, you know, and Kevin, I hope you guys can come to the Honest Conversations. We can have like a wonderful conversation. Yes, yeah. with three of us, you know. I'm so looking forward to that. And thank
great.
You so much for having me. This is just a pleasure. And to find me is very simple. It's honest without the H. honestbusiness.com, and there you find my podcast, you find Honest Conversations, you find everything there. It's just kind of like one thing. I try to do TikToks a little, you know, but I want to provide value, so I'm growing slow. I'm not dancing, I'm not romancing, so you know. You want tips, you go there. On Instagram as well.
Yeah. Perfect.
Well, if we get on your TikTok, we're going to have to do some of those dance memes, because, you know.
Well, I can't wait to do that with you guys.
I'll try.
Very good. Okay, Amy, are you going to wrap us up?
Yeah. So thanks again for Olga being on our show as a guest. And if you liked this interview and you want to hear more information about branding and brand archetypes, please follow us on our podcast, brandarchetypes.com. And wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks so much. And we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Olga.
Thank you.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.